Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. This time, I would like to welcome everyone to Meralco's third quarter 2013 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Meralco. We'd like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a question and answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks and uncertainties and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Meralco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Meralco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, everyone, for attending this conference call for the results of the third quarter of 2013. As usual, in our agenda in page number three, we're going to start with a quick review of the financial of the quarter. Then we will go a little bit more in detail into each business segment, talking about the changes in the sales prices, and then a little bit about the outlook for each business segment. And finally, we'll have a couple of slides about the third quarter subsequent events and a round of Q&A. If we start in page number four, the summary of the quarter, we can see that revenues were a little bit lower than the second quarter, about 1.7%, which is $1,334 million. We had an adjusted EBITDA of almost $320 million, which is 7.7% lower than the second quarter of this year. Our net income was $117 million, which is 30% lower than the second quarter of 2013, and our net financial debt stood at $3.66 billion, which is 5.7% lower than the second quarter of 2013. The capex of the quarter was 26.1% higher than the second quarter and went up to be $166.8 million. Page number five, we can see a detail of the income statement and the calculation of the adjusted EBITDA. We can see in the first line of the income statement the decrease of 1.7% in the top line of revenue, which is basically explained by lower sales of energy, which was at the same time caused by a lower pricing environment in the third quarter compared with the second quarter of this year. Cost of sales, marginally higher at 2.5%, explained basically by higher cost of timber and forestry labor costs, but with a decrease also in cost of energy and fuel and some other chemical costs. Administration and distribution costs reduced by 7%, which is mostly explained by a decrease in freight costs. In terms of EBITDA, we see a reduction of $26.5 million, which is, again, explained basically by lower margins in the energy division, which was caused by a lower pricing environment in the third quarter, basically because of lower prices, marginal prices in all the system. In terms of financial costs, they were 8.9% higher, $55 million, and income tax was lower because of the reduction in the income before income tax. If we go to page number six, a review of the cash flow, we can see that the collection of accounts receivable was stable at about $1.4 billion for the quarter, but we saw a reduction in payment to suppliers and personnel, which was about $200 million less. So that helped us have a higher cash provided by operating activities, in this case of 80% higher. Then we have capital expenditures, which was 26% higher. The main reason for the increase in CapEx is the equity contributions to Monte del Plata, which we account here, were much higher than the previous quarter. And that's the main explanation of that increase. In terms of cash from financing activities, we see here the effect of the reduction in the gross debt. We paid the $300 million of the bond that matured at the beginning of July. And also in the second quarter, at the end, we had the issuance of a new credit facility to finance this payment. So there's a big shift in terms of cash balance and debt balance from one quarter to the other. So we were able to pay down some debt, and that helped us reach the reduction in net debt. So the cash and cash equivalents for the end of the period were $543.7 million, which is a reduction from the $746. But at the end of the day, we had a reduction in the net debt because we paid down debt. This is much better explained in the next slide, in slide 7. You can see there that our total financial debt went down $400 million, $420. But also we had a reduction in cash and cash equivalents of about $200. So we had a reduction in net debt of $220 million from the end of June to the end of September. And if we take into account also that our 12-month adjusted EBITDA went up by about $130 million from June to September, we see the effect in the leverage, the net debt to EBITDA, which came down from 3.7 last quarter to 3.1. This is a huge reduction from the peak that we had at the end of the last year. We stood at 4.6 times. Now we are at levels that are below the ones that we had at, in the second quarter of 2012. In terms of our amortization schedule, it's more or less the same that we have seen in the past, with long-term amortizations and basically bonds maturities in the future. Page number 8, some ratios, and the things to see here probably are the EBITDA margin, last 12 month EBITDA margin now at 23.1% from 21.8% from the second quarter of 2013, and a decrease in net financial debt to shareholders' equity from 55.7 to 52.1. Apart from the 3.1 times of net leverage that we talked in the slide before. So we see a continuous reduction in the leverage of the company quarter by quarter. Now if we go to each business segment, we jump to page number 10. We see here a reduction in the sales of the pulp division from $591 million for the quarter to $573. This is a 3% reduction. But when you look at the pricing and volume, there's an offsetting effect there. Prices are going down marginally, 1.3%, volume of sales going up. But the effect here of 3% is basically explained by the energy sales of the pulp division. Remember that the sales here includes the energy sales done by the pulp mills to the Interconnect Center in Chile. And this is the effect of the lower pricing in energy in the third quarter. This year, we had abnormally higher prices in the second quarter, which is basically the winter, and in the third quarter, we saw a reduction in those prices that were not normal for the period in the second quarter. In terms of comparing one year to the other, of course, we have a better environment in terms of prices of 5.4% and also an increase in volume of sales of 8.7%. The increase in volume of sales is basically explained by better production. We can see in the table at the bottom of the slide that this quarter we made a record production of 817,000 tons. And if you look 1 year ago, we are much better in terms of production than we were before. In terms of pricing, what we saw during the quarter was some decreases in the pricing of short fiber, a little bit, and stable prices in long fiber. The pricing of long fiber started to increase at the end of the quarter. Basically, at the end of September, we saw the increases in prices in long fiber, so they are not reflected in the results yet. Probably we will see more on that coming into the results of the fourth quarter. In terms of the demand, we see good demand in Asia, and we are seeing that the demand from China also is quite healthy and recovering from the beginning of the year, it was not very strong. If we go to the outlook in page 11, what we expect for the coming quarters, we still expecting some small increases in long fiber. If you see the inventory levels in days in softwood compared to hardwood, we see strong demand in softwood, and we have been able to increase pricing almost every month in long fiber. So probably in the coming month we could see some small increases, and now the spread between short fiber and long fiber is quite high. I mean, it's probably over the average, is at $127, comparing the indexes. Depending on each market, that spread is different, of course. And we see that the oversupply in short fiber has somehow been diluted because of the deferred entry of the new capacity. Talking basically here about the Marañao project, Susano, and our project in Montes de Plata, which we're going to talk about a little bit later in subsequent events about the startup of that mill. So we expect some stable prices in short fiber probably in the fourth quarter, and as an average we were going to see increases in long fiber because prices have already increased from the closing prices of September. So on average we will see higher prices. In terms of panels, we'll go to page 12. Here in panels, we have a 2.5% reduction in sales, which is explained by a decrease in pricing of 1.4%, which is relatively lower and probably could be explained more by a change in the mix of products that we have been selling, and then a stable volume at 1.2%. There's a huge difference if we compare from 1 year ago. And that the reason for that is because 1 year ago we didn't have the same company being consolidated as we do now. So, and you can see that in the production volume table in the bottom of the slide. So we are now running at about 1.3 million cubic meters per quarter, and we used to be less than half of that in 2012. In terms of pricing, generally for panels, talking LDF, particle board and plywood, we have seen stable prices, good pricing environment, especially in the U.S., Canada, and Latin America, and we expect that to continue through the fourth quarter as the housing market and the furniture market in Latin America are still very healthy. In terms of outlook for the same division, page 13, as I told you before, in MDF, which includes panels and moldings, we see stability in Brazil. Also the same in U.S. and Canada, stable in the good position that we are right now. Also in Chile, in MDF. You have to consider that MDF moldings that are being produced in Chile and sold basically in the U.S., Canada, are a historical maximum. So we could see that they could remain stable. We don't see a lot of upside in the short term here in moldings. And some decrease we could see in average prices for MDF panels. In particle board, we see also stability in Brazil and higher prices in Argentina, especially for melamine. We have very good margins in Argentina, and we expect that to continue because of the restrictions of imports of our competitors in Argentina. And also we are positive in the outlook for plywood boards in terms of demand and margins for the coming future. Now if we move to page 14, talking about Sun Timber, here we are seeing increases in sales of 5.4% compared to last quarter, explained by basically an increase in pricing and a almost 14% increase compared to a year ago. And here the story is basically the increase in sales and better margins in the U.S., Canada, and also in other markets that we sell our products to. And we see that this trend to continue as the housing sector in the U.S. continues to improve. We see the production level in some timber more or less stable, running at about 733,000 cubic meters a quarter. In terms of the outlook for some timber, this month we didn't have the housing starts reports, basically because of the U.S. government shutdown that affected the funds that were going to this service in the U.S., but we did have the building permits that were issued about a week ago, and that permits went up to 1,034,000 housing of privately owned housing units. That is 6.2% over 1 month and 13.9% over 1 year ago. So these are good numbers that we are seeing in the building permits, and we expect that we can have good numbers as soon as the housing starts are released, which we were announced to be released at December 18 this year. But apart from the numbers of the housing permits, we feel that the demand is there. The market is recovering, and we expect this will continue for the coming quarters and probably next year also. We don't see any risk here in terms of a huge change in the medium-term trend in this market. In terms of the third quarter and subsequent events, we jump here to page 17. At the beginning of September, we got finally the FSC certification, so our plantations here in Chile are now certified by the Forest Stewardship Council, so we are very happy with this. It has been a several years of work in certifying our forests to comply with this very strict certification of in terms of environment and communities. Page 18, we are almost ready to start the production in our new plywood mill in Nualdea. Remember, this mill was destroyed by a fire at the beginning of the year 2012. We committed to reconstruct the mill, and we did. And this mill is 350,000 cubic meters of capacity, and we expect to start production at the middle of December, and the mill is almost complete and ready to start it. In terms of Monte de Plata, we announced recently the new schedule for startup, and we announced that the mill will start up in the first quarter of 2013. The mill is almost 95% completed. The commissioning process is very advanced, and we expect to be able to ramp up the mill during the first quarter of 2014, and expect to have a good wrap-up process for this huge investment that we have done in Uruguay. So that is what I have to tell you in terms of the results and the numbers and the forecast that we are seeing for the market, the outlook. And now I would like to open the table for any questions that you could have in of these numbers or the
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from Lucas Rivera, J.P. Morgan.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Gianfranco, my first question is on the Monte del Plata project. If you could just review what were the reasons for the delay, for this recent delay, I mean, explain to us what has been done and also what are the bottlenecks for the completion of the project. And if possible, as it's already very close to the startup, if you already have an estimate of how much you expect to produce in 2014 in Monte do Plata. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Lucas. Well, the reasons are many. I mean, for these size of projects, it's normal to have some delay in the startup, and especially if you have a project of this size in a country like Uruguay. I mean, probably the reasons can be summarized in some labor conflicts in Uruguay during the construction, from weather delays, just bad weather to construct, and some delays related to some of the work of the subcontractors that we are part of this project. This is a huge project with many subcontractors, and the interrelation between them and the labor management that they have to do, the employees that they have, most of them coming from other countries and other coordination, all of that were contributing to the delay that we have in this project. I think that it's not probably normal to have a project that starts on time, and we have seen the other projects in the pulp industry, all of them starting later. And I think that probably the difference is that in Uruguay, the union relations are a little more complicated than in other countries. And that was more complicated than probably doing a project in Chile. We are very optimistic. We are almost completed. Everyone is working very hard to start it as soon as possible, and we are very focused on having a very successful ramp up. In terms of bottlenecks, of course, at this moment, there we have a lot of critical paths at the same time from many different fronts, but we are working on them in order to try to have a successful startup during the first quarter of 2014. Sorry. In terms of the amount of pulp we're going to produce, that's going to, of course, depend on the ramp up. Usually, these kind of mills takes about 6 months to get to the full month of production, and so if we start, let's say, in the middle of the quarter, you can do the math in terms of 6 months from then being in full production, and then having the average monthly production until the end of the year, and then before that having the area behind the curve, below the curve over there. So I don't have a number with me exactly, but I think it's not very hard to do a estimation of the amount of pulp that we could be producing. After that, of course, you have to take into account that pulp has to be stored, transported, reached to the market, and that, of course, takes longer than just producing the pulp, and that's what we saw in the other projects that ramp up before in El Dorado on other projects. So the effects of the market probably are not going to be seen until the second half of 2014, probably. But that's just my guess.
All right, thanks. And my second question would be on a panel business, and specific on prices. If you could comment on your expectations for the U.S. market in 2014, and also Brazil. I think, Jaguariva, you are already operating at almost at full capacity, right? So, and some of your competitors were speaking about increasing prices by year-end, but it seems that prices are stable. So how do you evaluate the supply and demand balance, let's say, in these two markets and your expectations on prices?
Yes, I mean, starting first from Brazil, I think that Brazil has always had for many years a lot of increases in capacity, and the demand has been growing very healthy. But in some points, you have some overcapacity that is absorbed by the demand. But what we have seen, at least in MDF in Brazil, are some companies exporting from Brazil, trying to relieve a little bit the domestic market, and we have seen some companies exporting to Mexico, for example, the Duratex and the other companies. So and that, I think, is healthy in order to preserve the pricing in Brazil. So I think we're going to see probably less than that as the domestic demand takes a bigger share on the production in Brazil. in terms of the USA and Canada, we see a stable pricing environment. I mean, we have seen big increases in pricing in MDF and somehow in particle board, in probably mostly in the East Coast rather than the West Coast. But we think that the trend is going to be slow. Prices are not going to jump to the roof immediately. But I think it's better if the margins are preserved and no more capacity comes into the market. A lot of companies are trying to not produce at full capacity in order to preserve the margins. So I think that it's going to be probably stable. And we are very happy that way, because the margins are very good at this moment in the U.S. So I think that's why we're saying that Brazil and the U.S. should be stable. In terms of Brazil, demand is good, but we still have a little bit of overcapacity that's been exported to other parts of Latin America, and that helps the pricing in Brazil at this moment.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Once again, if you do wish to pose a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please hold again while we pull for questions. This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Gianmarco Zuffello for any closing remarks.
Okay, thanks everyone for attending this conference call. I hope that we can meet each other again for the fourth quarter of 2013. At this time, the results will be released probably in the middle of March, so it will take some time to meet us. But in the meantime, if you have any doubts, just reach us by email or by phone to our Investor Relations Department, and we will be happy to answer all the questions that you could have. Thanks again, and bye-bye.
Thank you. This does conclude today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time, and have a nice day.